Not long ago, a major Protestant denomination met and deliberated over a wide variety of issues that were relevant to the life and ministry of their denomination. While the various media reported on the gathering of that denomination, nothing received more press than the denomination's reaffirmation of the biblical command for the wife to live in submission to her husband. Some of the reporters simply reflected the denomination's position as a statement of human interest, but most reports were extremely critical. The general consensus of the reporters was that no wife should be required to submit to her husband. And the idea was that any view that would require submission of a wife to her husband is antiquated, abusive, and absurd. Rather than presenting a carefully thought-out argument against the wife's submission, the biblical view of a wife's submission was scoffed at and promptly dismissed as being irrelevant. It was argued that if a wife's role is being viewed as subordinate to her husband, then she must logically be viewed as inferior, and that simply can't be the case. What do the scriptures teach concerning the calling of a wife and mother? Do you know? Are you, as a Christian wife, living according to the scriptures toward your husband? Are you living in submission to your husband? What is the biblical basis for this submission, and exactly what does it mean? What is the calling of a Christian wife and mother? How does the church's submission to Christ set the pattern for the wife's submission to her husband? And what will be the result of a Christian's wife's failure to live in biblical submission to her husband? These are important questions, and the questions must be answered today. They must be answered from the living and the abiding Word of God. Once again, the Reform Witness Hour is privileged to have a special speaker on our program today. He's the Reverend James Slotsma, pastor of the First Protestant Reformed Church of Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's going to speak on the subject of the Christian wife and mother. His speech was first given in a marriage conference held in October of 2003. His comments, you will find, are based upon the living Word of God, and specifically upon the Reformed biblical faith, which finds the source of all things in the glory of God. I believe that you'll find his remarks wholesome and refreshing. Without further comment, we want to hear today the first half of Reverend Slotsma's remarks on the calling of a Christian wife and mother.
To follow up on the introduction, I'll speak on both roles of woman as wife and as mother, and especially that last, because that today in our society needs to be emphasized. The position of wife and mother is an honorable one. That's not the viewpoint of society today. When society sees a woman with a number of children, the question is that all you are? Is that all you do? You're a wife? You're a mother? You raise these children? You put them to bed at night? You wash their clothes? You nurse them along? Is that all you do? The attitude of society today is that a woman really doesn't have a rich and full life and really doesn't have much worth unless she has some kind of career outside the home. What I want to emphasize this morning is a different viewpoint, God's viewpoint. Proverbs 31 speaks of a godly wife and a godly mother. It's introduced in verse 10 with these words, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price," or literally her worth, is far above rubies. And towards the end of that section, verse 28, we read, her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. And if we go to God's own law, who our children and all of us taught to honor? Is it the career woman that's to be honored? I'm not saying that's not honorable. It certainly can be. But who does God teach us to honor? Honor father and mother. Let not the young women here who contemplate marriage think that the role of wife and mother is an inferior one. And let not the young women here who are married and who are mothers of children think that their place in the home is somehow less than honorable, less than fulfilling, less than pleasing. Wives and mothers are highly honored and valued by God and should be by us exactly because the covenant and the kingdom of God depends on the work that they do in Jesus Christ. And I want to show that this morning. Let's look at the all-important role that God has given to wives and to mothers. And let's start with the role that God has given to wives in marriage. The primary role of the wife in marriage is to be a help to her husband. That's obvious from Genesis chapter 2, which speaks of the institution of marriage. That whole section is introduced in Genesis 2, verse 18, with this, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help, meet for him. And to show Adam his need for a help, he had Adam name the animals and saw that they were male and female, and he had no female counterpart. And then God put him to sleep, and out of his rib made a woman, Eve, and joined them two together in marriage. From this chapter, we learn very clearly that the man, ordinarily, there are exceptions, but ordinarily the man is incomplete. He alone, by himself, is not able to perform the work that God has for him to do. He needs a woman. He needs a female counterpart who is joined to him in one flesh in marriage, and in that marriage relationship, therefore, complements him, fills in his lack, and makes him complete, complete in every way. And so it is that, with a few exceptions, and those are men whom God has ordained to be single and have another place in the kingdom. With few exceptions, the man, with the help of his mate, is able to do, for example, these things. Obviously, to bring forth covenant seed. He can't do that by himself. But in marriage, he can. And not just bring forth children, but train them in the covenant. My wife and I have 9 children. Half of them, more than half of them, are married and starting their own families. If there's one thing I've learned from experience, and that is this, there is no way that I could have trained them alone without the help of my wife. The man also needs a wife as he generates income and manages income in order to support the family and the poor and the gospel and the church. It's not just a matter of the man going off to work, but it's a matter of managing one's affairs so that there is enough to eat and to provide for the home and the church and the school. A man alone can't do that effectively. He needs the help of a mate. And the man to fill his place in the church, whether it's the office of minister or elder or deacon or some other important place, and everyone has an important place, a man is not able to do without the help of his wife. In marriage, the work God places upon the man really becomes a joint work of husband and wife. That's what it is. It's not his work alone. It's a joint work of husband and wife, with the man taking the lead and the wife being an invaluable help to him in that work. And without the woman helping her husband, the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, would literally suffer shipwreck. That's how important the wife is in marriage and in the church and in society. Now, the second thing I want to emphasize in that connection is that the woman can fill this all-important role only as she submits to the rule of her husband. It's been emphasized a couple of times in this conference that God has ordained marriage among us to be an earthly reflection of the beautiful relationship between Christ and the church, which is the real marriage of the covenant. Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. And it's the calling, therefore, of the wife to reflect in the marriage relationship the position that the church, redeemed by grace, has with Christ, her bridegroom. And that's reflected in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24. This is, again and again, what God lays before wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Many today, even in the church, consider that this views the woman as inferior and thus degrading. She must submit herself to the rule and authority of the husband. I know of many young girls who consider this to be unacceptable as they contemplate marriage. What? I have to let a man rule my life? How degrading! Let's stop and look at that a moment. I'd like to know anybody here who is not under the authority of someone else. There are a few office bearers in the church here. The rest of you are under the authority in the church of your pastor, elders, and deacons. I don't see anybody in government here, a government official. I would dare say that all of us are under the authority of the civil magistrate. And many of us are in the workaday world under the authority of our employers, placed there by God. Is that degrading? Does that make you inferior because you are under someone else's authority? Are you inferior to President Bush and the town mayor here in Hudsonville because you are under their authority? I think not. To be under the authority of someone else does not imply inferiority, is not a degrading thing. It's simply a part of life, a necessary part of life. And God in His wisdom has placed the wife in a position of being under the authority of her husband. And only when the woman in marriage willingly submits to her husband's rule and authority can she be of any real value and help to him or to the family or to the church or to the kingdom of God. Because sin has entered into the human race and sin has its place in every one of our lives, it's the tendency of the wife in marriage to ignore, to chafe under the authority of her husband. Her tendency is to challenge his authority. I don't want you to rule me. I don't want you to tell me what to do. And that shows itself in rebellion, disobedience, sometimes overtly, sometimes in the sneak. But it's a temptation every woman has to fight, as every husband has to fight the temptation to be a tyrant. And there are some cases when women under sin and sinfully even try to usurp the authority of the husband by taking the rule over herself. Whenever she does that, she never is a help to her husband. She's never a help to her family. But she becomes a detriment, and she loses her value in the home, in the marriage, in the church. She loses her value. Having said that, I want to emphasize this, that the wife, as she submits to her husband, must submit not as a child submits to his parents, but she must submit to him in her place as a God-given help. And that means especially two things. Means more, perhaps, but two things I want to emphasize this morning. Number one, this means that she not only may, but she must advise her husband in all matters. You know, a child is under the authority of the parents, but a child is not in a position to advise his parents, well, I think you ought to do this, and I think you ought to do that. That's not the position of a child. But a woman is not a child. A woman is a mature, in a Christian marriage, a mature saint whom God has given to the husband to help. That means she has a voice, and she must use it, and she must give advice. And the husband that will not listen to his wife and thinks his wife has nothing to tell him is a fool and sins not only against his wife, but sins against God. Secondly, the husband must not rule over his wife in such a way that he micromanages her life. That's how parents have to deal with little children. They have to tell their children when to get up, what to wear to school, when to go to bed, what to eat. I saw a man once treat his wife that way. His wife had to ask permission to go to bed earlier than he did. That man was a fool. Marriage is a partnership. God gives in marriage a wife, the wife to the man to be his partner. And in that partnership, decisions are made jointly, especially on every important and significant matter, and there are many. They are made together. And when there is not agreement, there's discussion. And often there has to be compromise. If a man is wise, he will find a way to meet his wife halfway so they both can live with it. If he loves her and is not a tyrant. And if there's disagreement, nonetheless, then he ultimately makes the decision. But in that framework, he trusts her. And looking at his abilities and her abilities, decides and decide together, they do, how things are going to be done. And she is given freedom and liberty to carry out the affairs of the home and many, many other matters dealing with the family. If we don't remember that, then the woman is denied her place, and her place becomes very intolerable. In this connection, let's also talk about the very important role that women have as mothers. When a wife becomes a mother, she is greatly blessed. Children are a great blessing to marriage. Psalm 127, verse 3, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. And yes, the Bible considers a large family to be a blessing. That same Psalm 125, verse 5, Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And I can hear some say, but they take so much time and energy. There's so much work. They require so much sacrifice. Children do. Yeah, they do, don't they? And a large family. Especially, I know. That's partly why they're a great blessing. Husband and wife learn a great deal of maturity. And they're have to exercise a lot of virtues as they raise their children. That in part is why they're such a great blessing. As a mother, the woman helps her husband in training and rearing their children. In this area, she also has authority. It's not an authority apart from her husband. It's authority she exercises with her husband and under her husband. And let it be known that the mother in the home has special gifts and special abilities necessary for the well-being of the home and the family. I'm amazed. After 34 and a half years of marriage, to see that in my own wife and now in my married children, the special gifts that they have for the family.